Liz Garfield didn't make friends. "I'm a plain brown moth, not a social butterfly," she sometimes told Bobby. But during her first couple of years at Hometown Real Estate, she had been on good terms with a woman named Myra Calhoun. In Liz's ease, she and Myra saw eye to eye, marched to the same drummer, were tuned to the same wavelength, etc., etc. In those days, Myra had been Don Biderman's secretary, and Liz had been the entire office pool, shuttling between agents making their appointments and their coffee, typing their correspondence. Myra had left the agency abruptly, without much explanation, in 1955. Liz had moved up to her job as Mr. Biderman's secretary in early 1956. Liz and Myra had remained in touch, exchanging holiday cards and the occasional letter. Myra, who was what Liz called a maiden lady, had moved to Massachusetts and opened her own little real estate firm. In late June of 1960, Liz wrote her and asked if she could become a partner, a junior one to start with, of course, in Calhoun Real Estate Solutions. She had some capital she could bring with her. It wasn't a lot, but neither was $3,500 a spit in the ocean. Maybe Miss Calhoun had been through the same ringer his mom had been through. Maybe not. What mattered was that she said yes. She even sent his mom a bouquet of flowers. And Liz was happy for the first time in weeks, perhaps truly happy for the first time in years. What mattered was they were moving from Harwich to Danvers, Massachusetts. They were going in August, so Liz would have plenty of time to get her Bobby-O, her newly quiet and often glum Bobby-O, enrolled in a new school. What also mattered was that Liz Garfield's Bobby-O had a piece of business to take care of before leaving Harwich. He was too young and small to do what needed doing in a straightforward way. He would have to be careful, and he'd have to be sneaky. Sneaky was all right with Bobby. He no longer had much interest in acting like Audie Murphy or Randolph Scott in the Saturday matinee movies, and besides, some people needed ambushing, if only to find out what it felt like. The hiding place he picked was the little copse of trees where Carol had taken him on the day he went all ushy-gushy and started crying. A fitting spot in which to wait for Harry Doolin. Old Mr. Robin Hood. Robin Hood riding through the glen. Harry had gotten a part-time stock boy job at Total Grocery. Bobby had known that for weeks, had seen him there when he went shopping with his mom. Bobby had also seen Harry walking home after his shift ended at 3 o'clock. Harry was usually with one or more of his friends. Richie O'Meara was his most common sidekick. Willie Sherman seemed to have dropped out of old Robin Hood's life, just as Sully had pretty much dropped out of Bobby's. But whether alone or in company, Harry Doolin always cut across Commonwealth Park on his way home.